and he breathed his life into you. He found you when you were cursed, and he breathed his blessing into your life. He found you when you had a stench to your life, and he breathed in his wonderful aromas and incense and the things that he breathes in heaven, breathes into you the beautiful essence of God. He just brings it into your life. He brings you something much better. Let me ask you something this morning. Do you want to live a life where if you need healing, you can receive healing? Do you want to live a life where if you're in pain, you can receive comfort?
Yes.
I'm talking physical pain or emotional pain or mental pain, that you can receive comfort. Are you desirous to see a life where if you see somebody in need, you can lay hands on them and you can minister healing to them and walk in the power of God and let the Holy Spirit witness for you to this world? Why? Because he hooks up with the Word of God. And when you're walking and doing what the Word says to do, he's going to bear witness of your life. He is going to bear witness of what you carry, that treasure in your earthen vessel that you carry with you. You want that?
Yes.
Well, it all comes by walking in the Word. Walking in the Word. Putting the Word as your first and your final authority. The Word of God is everything. It is a living thing. It is a productive thing. It comes with the ability to fulfill itself in your life. The Word of God. You can look at it as a seed. You can look at it as a tool. You can look at it as your equipping. It's your toolbox. How's that? It's your toolbox. Hallelujah. That's what the Word is. I don't know about you, but I just want to get this job done so we can get out of here and get into heaven. Yes. Amen? Yes. How about it? Yes. Let's tie this thing up. Don't worry about your neighbor and them getting those. Worry about here. And when we all think about what's going on inside and take care of ourselves and remove the rocks in our soil, as that prophecy said today, and, you know, and start praising God and start walking in the Word of God, it's amazing how this world will change, and we're gone. And he said, well, you know, I'm just starting life. Why would I want to be gone now? You need a revelation of the greatest place, the most marvelous, glorious world that you can, eye has not seen. You need a revelation of this. We prayed this morning for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. And when you know him, you'll know the world, the glory of the world that he has created for you and the plans that he has. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor neither has it entered into the heart of man what he has prepared for those who love him. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit, the Bible says. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And as we turn there, let's declare this together. This is our weekly confession. Anybody at the throttle? There you go. Thank you, John. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Oh, the power, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Then is it Romans 1:16? The gospel is the power of God. We've had a pretty weak gospel in this country, in the world. They look at us one way. You know, they label you certain ways, but God defines you. And that's what we're going to talk about today a little bit, about how we are defined. How many of you read the word of the week that we sent out Wednesday this week? Two. Good. Three. Four and a nod. Well, it was entitled "The Mirror Never Lies," and of course, the focus of that was the mirror that Paul talked about. That we look, we're changed from glory to glory as we look in, as it were, a mirror. And James talks about the mirror of the Word of God, and that was our focus. And when we look into the mirror, because of the reflection, we never see ourselves the way we are. We always see our reflection, and that reflection is totally backwards. How about it? You guys there?
Yes.
So when you're looking, you've never really seen your face. All you have ever seen of your face is your own reflection, and that reflection's even backwards. So if you go through life looking at your life the way you look at it, you're looking at it wrong, because it's reflecting the wrong thing. But when you look into the Word of God, it reflects how things really are in the Spirit. You see who you really are. You're a new creation. You are a miracle. You are a product of the genius of God.
Amen.
And that's what's coming back at you. And you say, well, no, that's my life. I mean, this is the way I am. No. You're looking about what you see. You're looking at information gained by the five physical senses. That's called sense knowledge. But the Bible has revelation knowledge, and this is what God, when you look into the Word of God, those are God's words actually coming to you, prophesying to you who you really are. He's calling things which be not as though they were. You're not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed. That's where he starts, and it's coming back to you. You're not the weak. No, you are the strong. You are empowered by God. He lives in you. Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing is living from the sole of your feet to the top of your head. Look, this is the reality. We've got to go for the reality of the Word of God. You know, we're not living this la-la-la-la little gospel that everything's going to be all right. Come on. And we settle down in our little pew like mother hen. Oh, we need to break some stained glass windows.
Yeah.
Don't we? Of religion and religiosity and churchianity and all this stuff that has piled on, caked on us and hardened to become fallowed ground, covering over us like cement. You know, fallowed ground is that dry creek bed that's all cracked up in squares and everything. And then what happens is the winds come and the prairie grass gets rolling. But what's happened is the prairie grass is blowing along there, and it drops all of its seed down those cracks. And just a little bit of water of the Word, just a little bit of water of the Holy Spirit. It comes to life, empowering. And all of a sudden, you know, when you feel strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, you don't feel like you can ever be weak. You don't feel like you'd ever fail, or you don't look like you'd ever come short in anything. I remember, who was it? He was a catcher on the Cubs, Jody something or other.
Davis,
yeah. He said, you know, there's sometimes the whole field looks like a glove. And when you get up, you just can't make a hit. And Mickey Mantle said this too. He said, you know, when you're hitting, you don't feel like you can ever strike out. And when you're striking out, you don't feel like you can ever hit. Thank God we have the Word of God that calls things which be not as though they were. And if you're a failure, if you've been a failure, if you're a day late and a dollar short, if you're always broke, I got news for you. God is speaking to you, and God is showing you the real you and who you really are and what you can really do and what you really have and where you are really seated in him, made alive far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name that's named in this world. You're higher than that, and you're better than that. He's given you life. He's given you power and strength. Woo! Glory to God. Allow his word to be fulfilled in your life when he's speaking to you. When he's telling you who you are, allow his word to have his perfect work in you. Oh, that was good, Lord. Let his word, allow his word to have its perfect work in you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Say this, God's word is his prophecy for me. It's fulfilled in me. I hear it. I receive it. I change my mind to acclimate to the truth. And I'll be set free from all opposing forces in this world. That doesn't mean you're not going to have arguments, but you're just not going to get in it, and you're not going to be under it. You'll be over it. Amen. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. Paul is praying a prayer for the Ephesians. This is a Holy Spirit-inspired prayer, and it's not just for the Ephesians, it's for us. Paul is praying this prayer so that we would see what he saw when he saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you remember in 2004, the Indian Ocean tsunami, where there was an earthquake and the tectonic plates in the earth's crust, poof, like that, and released all this energy? That's nothing compared to the energy that was released when God rose Jesus from the dead. Nothing. Nothing. As destructive as that was, look at that tsunami as the energy of God coming and absolutely destroying death, sin, Satan, sickness and disease and poverty and curses. That's what it did. It destroyed them all. And he's praying this prayer in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what?
Glory.
That's weight. That's power. That's ultimate authority. That is, the buck stops here and there's nothing better, man. He's the top of the food chain and it ain't getting any better from there. He is it. The Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. It's not just knowledge. It's revelation knowledge. It's something that God imparts to you that reveals something to you. And when God reveals something to you, it's like when he said to Martha, he said, you're concerned about so many things. Mary's chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken from her. When God shows you something, when you sit at his feet, when you pray these prayers and you're praying this word into your life, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, when you're praying that into your life, do you think he wants to reveal these things to you? He wants to show you who he is and who you really are. He wants to this is why he gave us this word. I mean, why else would he give us the word? People say, you can't really know all the word. Well, come on, why did he give it to us? If he wanted us to be stupid, he would have just left us alone. We'd taken care of it. No, it's happening already. But he gave us this because he desires to reveal himself to you as your loving Father, your loving Savior, your equipper of the teacher who can guide you through this life. The God of our Lord, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding. See, revelation is not something you hear or mentally ascend to. It's something that you see. The eyes of your heart be flooded with light, the Amplified says. Flooded. Flooded with light. What was that verse? I think it was a verse this morning. We said, no shadow you won't light up. Man, when he shows up, there is no shadow. He is the light. Amen. Amen. The eyes of your heart, your understanding being lit up. Look at it that way. You're a torch. Be lit up that you may know. This is not just know. This is know. I mean, you know, it's like you can know that the Bible says by his stripes you were healed. And you say, well, are you healed? No. Because you know what the Bible says. And there's a difference between you know it and you know it. That's what this know is. So that you may know the hope of his calling. What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And here is the good part. Not that that is not good. I mean, that's better than anything else. But it's getting better. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And put all things under his feet and made him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness, let's camp out there for a minute, the fullness of him. Come on. Get the rigor mortis. The fullness. Didn't he pray in the next prayer? He said that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Yes. The fullness of him that fills all in all. And then in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and God who is rich in what? Mercy. For the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive, quickened us together with Christ. You know that quicken, how he quickens you? He doesn't quicken you just by resuscitating and giving your life back to you. He gives you his very life, the substance of his life right into you. Has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. He's prepared a table in the presence of our enemies for us to come and be seated at his table, to have table fellowship with the Father, and to know him, to listen to him talk, to hear him, to hear his voice, to look at him without even a glint in your eye of any kind of inferiority, because it's all been taken care of, and you know it, and you know it, you know it, you know it down in your knower that knows, that every fiber in your being knows that you have been forgiven and released and exists no more. And that can be hard to do because in your mind, you can't figure these things out. And we're so used to figuring things out. Say, how will this happen? How will that happen? How will he do this? How would look, it's done. Walk in what he told you to walk in, and you'll find out that it's all been done. That's how faith works. Faith is declaring the end from the beginning because you know in your knower that he can't lie and that he has already prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Meditate sometime in the 23rd Psalm because most of the church is still in the valley of the shadow, but he doesn't stay there. He leads you through the valley of the shadow of death. And it leaves the rest behind. Seeing yourself as God sees you and allowing the word of God to define you. Oh, here's some things about definition. I wrote this down too. Definition. You know, when a bodybuilder works out and his muscles, they say his muscles have good definition. You know? To be defined by the word is to fix the state or state the exact meaning. An explanation of the exact meaning of a word, a phrase, or anything. What is the definition of that person, this thing? It also is a description. A definition, it can be a description. The definition can be an interpretation. How do people interpret you? How do you interpret you? Do you feel inferior? Do you feel like, or even worse, do you feel not inferior? What's the opposite of inferior?
Above.
Full of yourself. Okay. That would be more worser. A definition can be an explanation, a clarification. A definition can be an exposition or an explication. That's a good word to look up. Or an elucidation. Sharpness, focus, clarity, contrast. Like if you see the mountains are defined by the sky, the skyline, so forth. Kind of neat. Definitions. See, the world will label you. They'll say, well, you know, you're a Christian.
One of them.
Yeah, one of them. You're the Taliban of the Western culture. That's a big one. If you listen to the news media, that's what they're saying now, that the Christian church, man, we got to get rid of them. Man, they're the Taliban of Western civilization. They're useless. Well, the reason we're useless to them is because we have a different narrative.
We know the truth.
And the truth will make you free. And when we are walking in the freedom and the liberties that God has given us, they hate it. Because it says something to them. It says that they're wrong. And so they call us bigots. This is where they put evil for good and good for evil. Let me review a few things from earlier in this series. Because we're talking about the exceeding greatness of his power for such a time as this. When we hear the things of the world, that the world may be gaining steam against us and persecution. You know, one thing God never delivered the church from was persecution. He never delivered us. But he told us to stand strong in it because he'd be in there with us. He knows what it's like to be persecuted. Don't be surprised. In fact, if the world doesn't persecute you, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Whose team are you really on? I mean, if you're not giving the devil any problems, then maybe you're walking the same direction as he is. Don't be afraid to be a disruptor. By the way, that was good this morning, Phil.
Excellent
message, you know. That God is, you know, anyhow. God wants your heart. And when he's got your heart, what's persecution? Persecution isn't, you know, and here's another thing I learned too. Persecution's going to come. Jesus said it would. Affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake. Persecution's going to come. Settle it. It's going to come. All right? They're going to laugh at you, so forth. And some of that persecution will even come from the world. Most of it comes from the church. Are you one of those who believe in the word of faith, that movement? Name and claim it, blab and grab it. Are you a tongue talker? Are you one of those? And you can say, well, what are you? If they're asking you, then you can ask them. Well, what are you? Where do you sit with all that? Well, I don't believe in any of that stuff. You know, have you ever tried it? Yeah, I tried that. Didn't work. None of that stuff ever works for me. And you can look at them and says, it just did. You said it never worked for you, and it never worked for you. But I believe in the word of faith. I believe that the word of God works for them who work the word.
Right.
Jesus gave us that. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Why did he use mountain? I mean, that's huge. I mean, if that's where he starts, you know, if he starts with a mountain, well, let's hook in with it.
It's a tough
task. It's a big ask. But, you know, he wasn't even asking. He was telling. Have you ever noticed in the Lord's Prayer that thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven is not even a request? It's something that we are to declare. Well, what's his will? His will is his word. And Jesus said in his word that if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you'll have what you say. He didn't say you'll have what you pray. He said you'll have what you say. Isn't that what God does? Universe, light, be. Light was. By the way, those are the four words that he spoke. If you go back into the Hebrew writings in the rabbis, when he said light be, the King James says, let there be light. That phrase is light be, light was. That's what God said.
Wow.
When you make a declaration over your life saying, Lord, I'm a prosperous man. Why? Because I don't see it, but I know that you said that I am a prosperous man, that you prosper those. You prosper everything I put my hand to. I'm speaking your word over this. And so I am prosperous, and I was. Light be, light was. I am prosperous, I was. Talk about it as if it's already in motion. That's what God did. And doesn't the Bible tell us to imitate God? As dear children, tells us to imitate him. You know, little kids will imitate their father. They'll hear their father say one thing, and they'll say the same thing. I remember I watched my father shave one time. Then my father, I was about four or five years old, and my father came in, and my whole face was all bloody because I was using, and I wanted to be like Dad. I wanted to shave like Dad. I wanted to walk like, talk like him and everything. Well, that's what happens when you're a child of God and you get into this word. You start acting like him. You start talking like him. Unless you get into a church where they knock you down with a bunch of religious weights until you are what Jesus said, twofold the child of hell that they are. Didn't he say that? Religion will kill you. Jesus will set you free and fill you with joy.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at some of these words. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Well, let's look at verse 19. But God... Whoops, let's go back to chapter 1, John. Yeah. Verse 19 says, and what is the what? Exceeding. The word exceeding is the word hyperbolo, and it means to throw beyond the usual mark. If you have a, if I remember I had a coach one time, I was in a shortstop, and he says, you know, you're getting these guys pretty good coming up the first baseline, but here's what I want you to do. Don't throw it to first base. Throw it in the dugout, and the first baseman gets in the way. It's almost like a karate move where you look through the board. And he was telling me, throw it to the dugout and let him, and let the first baseman just get in the way of it. And I said, yeah. And some of these guys who were coming up the first baseline really fast all of a sudden realized they couldn't beat that throw. Oh, yeah. Exceeding. Throw beyond the usual mark. To surpass. You're not going to stop at just being healed. You're going to go right on to being whole. You're not going to stop to being just having your bank account full, but to be overflowing. You're not going to stop to be. All these promises are in the Bible. Not that we have our eyes on those things, we have our eyes on him, and he is that exceeding greatness. That resurrection power lives on the inside of you. The greatest force that ever hit this universe was not the creative power that created it. The greatest force was released from God when he raised Jesus from the dead with all opposing forces coming at him. Exceeding. Greatness. This is the word great. It's megathos. It means it's a word from the word mega. When Jesus hit that storm in Mark chapter 4 and he's in that boat, it was a great storm, it says. And that word great is mega. It's a hurricane force wind. That was designed to destroy him, to sink that ship. He didn't want him to get to Gadara to release that. He didn't want him anywhere near that demoniac. And that's where that ship was heading. So the devil threw everything he could at mega, greater storm. But you know what? The exceeding greatness was in Jesus' heart and in his mouth when he said, "Peace, be still." It was exceeding mega. Megathos. That's powers in you. That power's in you. Exceeding. Throw it beyond the usual mark. Get the limits out of your head. You're walking with God. Greatness. The exceeding greatness of his power. That word power is the word kratos. I'll get to it in a minute. It says in the King James, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, other translations translate according to the power of his might. The word kratos, there's three words basically. There's dunamis, kratos, and ishkus. Dunamis is explosive, self-energizing power. Jesus called it, "I felt virtue coming." It's dunamis. It healed the woman with the issue of blood. It healed the lepers and so forth. He walked in that dunamis power virtually at will. But you know, it wasn't just limited to how he managed that dunamis power. It was available to anybody who believed. That woman came up behind him and took it. And he said, "Who touched me?" Who touched me? He had nothing to do with that miracle. She had everything. Well, that dunamis power lives in you. That's number one. Number two is kratos. Kratos is an amazing power of energy, really. That's the power that rose Jesus from the dead. That's the energy. That's the power that carried God's energy into that tomb and raised Jesus from the dead. And ishkus is the muscle behind that power. It's God's muscle, spiritual muscle. It's the same power when they said, when there was an earthquake, when Jesus was on the cross, that took all the sins of this world and brought it into Jesus. And then the other earthquake was when the soldiers were by the tomb and the angel came and the ground quaked, the earthquake, and they fell as dead men, it says. That was kratos power, and was backed by the ishkus. And that's the word ishkus is the word mighty. The work of his ishkus power, his muscle power. This is what God has. These are all descriptions. These are nowhere else that I know of in the Bible is there a description with so many adjectives to try to explain to us and give us a revelation of what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead. No other place in the Bible to give anything, credence to any kind of power except it was dedicated to the resurrection power of Jesus. So like I said, the four Gospels, they show us what happened to Jesus. They show us the picture of what happened to Jesus on the cross, in the tomb, and in his resurrection from the dead. We just see him. On the other hand, Paul's revelation saw what happened inside of Jesus. The MRI of what happened to Jesus and what that power did and took all the sin that was put on Jesus, the sins of the world, and started undoing all of what the devil did all the way back to Adam. That is in you. Kratos. The muscle of God is in that thing. So you say, well, I can't resist this. I can't resist this temptation, this weakness. Are you kidding me? You have the Kratos power of God that undid all the works of the devil living on the inside of you. This is the same Kratos power. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the Kratos of his muscle, his ischios. I'm telling you something. You have things working in you that you can stand through anything. You can stand in temptation. You can stand in weakness and know that the power of God is being released in you to undo that temptation, to undo that weakness, and to breathe God's power into every cell of your body, in your mind. You have spiritual cells in your mind, by the way. Your mind will remember things. You remember the rich man in hell still said, son, remember? To the rich man in hell? He still had his mind intact and his memory. That's going to be the worst part of hell for people who go there, is that they'll remember every chance that they had to receive Jesus. But we have the power of God living on the inside of us. His mighty power. It's the glory of God. Judy was in our nursing home ministry, and we saw many miracles in that. There was one time, remember Frances up in Lexington? She had a stroke. She hadn't talked for a year and a half. Couldn't even mention a word. You know what the first word she spoke was? Jesus. Jesus. And then she started making up for lost time. There's nothing that's impossible. We saw wonderful, wonderful miracles in that ministry. But the biggest miracle was one time that we were at Oakcrest, and this woman named Frances, and she was another Frances. But she said, I was explaining something about salvation one time in one of the messages. And she goes, oh, yeah, I see. Yes. That's a miracle. She got it. See, the biggest miracle is the new birth. Healing is just restoring what you already had. I mean, it's just putting back together the original program. But the new birth is a recreation of something that has never lived before. A species, a brand new species of being that has never been before. That's a new creation. You don't have a past when you're born again. As far as God's concerned, it is wiped clean. All that blood went through all of the memory banks of heaven that was recording your entire life and erased them all. There's no case. The devil can remind you of your past. You can say, really? Bring it up to the Father. Maybe he can find it, but I think it's already been erased. I'm pretty sure. Paul tried to bring his sin up to the Lord, and the Lord didn't even acknowledge it because he's talking about something that didn't even exist anymore. That's the Kratos power of God that undid that work. You can stand up to it. The exceeding greatness of the working of his power. This is where we get the word energy from. It's energia, which is a Greek word. It's something that is forceful, effective, active, and powerful. This is the energy of God. Oh. You know, you may think, like, after a good night's sleep, have a good breakfast and everything, you can go and you can play 9 innings or whatever. With all of your... Nothing used to turn me on more than running as fast as I could after a fly ball or something. You know what I mean? It's just so good. But, or hitting a golf ball 271 yards. Now, If you're Kevin, you're going to hit the ball 371 yards. You go, man, that kid can hit. But that's energy. That's nothing compared to God's energy. Nothing. I mean, he goes, oh, praise God. That's energy. Energia, the exceeding greatness, the exceeding, hyperbola, beyond the usual mark, the greatness, beyond greatness is great. It's better. According to the forceful, effective, active power, it just doesn't take no for an answer. It just doesn't leave any death around. It doesn't leave any sickness around. It doesn't leave any shortcomings around. It just doesn't. It rushes in and changes the whole thing. Power, kratos, his mighty power, the power of his might, wrought in Christ. This is the word energio. And that is a force that's energizing. So not is it just his energy, but it's the force of his energy behind it. He's trying to use all of these adjectives to try to explain to you and try to get us to see what he saw. And the only way you can get what he saw is to pray it into your life and say, Father, give to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Flood my eyes with light to know the hope of my calling, what the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints is. And what is the exceeding greatness of your power which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead? I want to see it. I want to behold it. I want that revelation to know what you did in him. Because when I know what you did in him, then I'll know what you did in me. And I can walk it out and release it the same way Jesus did. And I can be a witness for him in this earth. And the Holy Spirit can bear witness of that which I declare and speak. Just heard the gavel go down in heaven. Say, yep. Yep, and behind that. Can you get a sense of this now? This is where Paul's coming from. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far at in heavenly places. Did you know that you are seated with Christ? You have been made alive in Christ, raised up together with him, and seated with him. That's a place of rest. You're not trying to get something that you don't have. You're seated in what he gave you, his own authority. You're seated in it. He's already lifted the heavy rocks. He's already pulled the load out of this world through his Kratos mighty power. And he's made you to sit in his victory as a joint heir with him. So next time you're tempted to have a bad attitude, oh, the world, as soon as you walk out and threaten your car here, the world is going to test what you're hearing right now. And you have a choice to react to it and say, I have the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. It is my dunamis. It is my ishkus. It is my kratos. It is the energy from God in me, and I can overcome all things, even my own attitude. Because it says, Satan comes immediately for the word's sake to steal, kill, and to destroy. So what are you going to do? You're going to hold fast to that which is good. Doesn't it tell you to do that? And you can laugh at the devil. You know why? Because you're a brand new creation. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. It says that the love of Christ constrains us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live to themselves, but him who died and rose again. Therefore, we don't know any man after the flesh. Even we knew Christ after the flesh, yet now we henceforth know him no more after the flesh. He was a man. He, in this earth, with a physical body. We don't relate to him that way. We relate to him as the risen Lord. That's the way we're to relate to ourselves, because we've been raised up together with him, raised and seated with him. So therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new species of being that has never existed before, and the devil doesn't know what to do with you. Especially when you walk in a word that he has no defense for. It defeated him in the wilderness. It defeated him at the cross. It defeated him at the gravesite. And it keeps on defeating him. 12 men turned the world upside down. 12. 12. Turned the world upside down because they knew who they were and they knew who their Lord was. And they knew that just as much as he is part of them, that they are part of him, and they had a job to do and when to do it. How about you? You're going to do the job? Deal with yourself. You have the power to do it. Deal with your attitudes. Deal with your weaknesses and the things like that of the flesh and stuff, and just start flushing them out with the power of God that lives on the inside of you, and be strong in the Lord and in the power, the kratos, the miracle-working power of his muscle, his spiritual muscle. God is in you, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Oh, can't you wait to get out and to get that glorified body? Well, you can walk in the reality of that now. Praise God. Because, you know, if any of the princes of this world knew what he was doing, he would have never crucified Jesus. Because doing that released it all. What the devil saw on the day of Pentecost is just unbelievable. What panic struck his heart.
You think they're so sure?
Yeah. Yeah, he was backpedaling a little. Let's reexamine this. Too late. The seed's been planted, and the trees of righteousness are growing, and the forest is happening. And that's us. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return void, but it will accomplish that which you sent it to do. And it is working in us, working mightily, releasing your power, releasing your grace, releasing your faith, releasing these things in us, these spiritual innards of Ishkus and Kratos and Dunamis working in us. And we expect that when we lay hands on, that they will recover. We thank you, Father, that we can speak and spirits will listen to us. Cast them out in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we are in authority in this earth, even by means of our own physical body, we have dominion in this earth. And Lord, we thank you that you have reestablished us in that seat of authority far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that's named. We will not run from a fight. We will run to it, just like David. And we will defeat the giants that come at us because their defenses have departed for them, and God is with us. And we thank you that the mighty one, the one who is exceedingly great in power, who teaches us to throw beyond the mark, to take off all the limitations, so that we can walk in confidence, knowing that you will cause the road to rise up and meet our feet, that prosperity will meet everything that we put our hand to. In Jesus' name, amen.